We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Blamer. Thank you very much, Peter. We love all three of those ladies.
Absolutely.
We do miss them. We miss them an awful lot. I will tell you this. I still see Gianna all the time. Our families are real friends. My wife and Gianna are buddy buddy.
And I have seen Elena on a couple of occasions since she said goodbye to all of us here, and she is doing well.
Shout out. Restraining orders don't have the same teeth they used to.
No, that's true.
No. Shout out Mallard. This is Peter in Marin. Peter, what do you got?
Hey guys, quick question for you. So why are there different rules on making contact with middle infielders versus the first baseman and the catcher? The catcher rule is different.
Well, those bases are officiated differently, first of all, and I think that that's where you have to start how the players are protected or not.
No, they're all protected the same way. It's just that first baseman, if you hit him before he catches the ball, that's interference. In the same way that if you hit a fielder before he's able to field the ball, that's interference. If the fielder makes contact with you as the base runner, it's obstruction. And those things are true no matter what base you're going into.
There you go.
There you go.
But wait a minute. But yeah, you can't impede my – whether you got the ball or not, you can't stand in front of second preventing me from taking it.
You cannot – I cannot impede – if I'm standing legally on second base, I'm fine. It's up to the fielder to work around me. But if you interfere with a player's ability to field the ball,
that's interference.
So in other words, the fielder has to be behind you as the ball is coming to him for the possibility of interference. If he's in front of you, there will not be any interference.
By the way, a celebrity all-star game update, apparently Quavo, according to Halftime J here, it's just putting up gaudy numbers.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I don't have a box.
All I see is Cassidy talking to Common and Chance the Rapper.
I don't know why they chose like as ugly uniform colors as humanly possible here. Is there a connection to Chicago?
I don't know what the pink and green is.
Electric
I do
pink
know
or green.
That is a table with three of Chicago's greatest right there. Cassidy, Hubbard, Common, and Chance the Rapper. That's what I do know.
Julian.
One of them should have a glass of scotch next to him, though.
Yes. Cassidy.
Julian. Yeah, Cassidy needs it, right? Julian, San Ramon, our final not-so-stupid question. Take us home, Julian.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Friday.
You too.
So my question is, why do we call football when we don't use your feet?
Well, kickers do.
Yeah. Kickers use their feet. And
I'm not sure, though. Why was it called football?
Because originally, football was only soccer, and you do use your feet there. When it came here, it was sort of a hybrid, and it was largely more rugby than soccer. And then it became essentially rugby and then refined from the rugby rules to what is now called American football. Globally, the NFL plays American football, and the rest of the world plays football.
So, but my question is, why did America choose to call it football?
I don't know. Maybe there's the first guy wrote about it just shows that.
Because even football fans could remember what country they were in, so they thought it was a redundancy.
So we actually have a football/soccer is what I really mean topic to bring up today. I am not a huge fan of the beautiful game. I don't really like soccer. And I'm not going to apologize. My reasons, I believe, are just for me. Maybe you don't feel the same. But I'm not a fan of soccer. However, I am a fan of a decision that soccer attached to a team that they saw caught red-handed cheating, not necessarily on the field, but in the margins of the bank ledger and Man City. Is that what Man
United? Manchester City.
Manchester
City.
Short
name Man City.
Manchester City has been banned for 2 years, and this could be hundreds of millions of dollars in total penalties. And again, Jim Crane, $5 million, all players get immunity.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, banned from the Champions League. So yeah, they can't participate in the basically the
biggest tournament
yeah, the
in
best.
The world.
The biggest soccer tournament for club teams in the world. And it's every year. And they were a mainstay in it for what, 5-7 years now?
Yeah, at least that.
Yeah.
By the way.
And if you win that, it's worth north of 250 million euros. It's a big deal to be in it at all.
So I got to explain to someone how when you're hosting a radio show, it's impossible to just kind of stop hosting the show to research questions. Yeah, people are using their thumbs to try to find information, but we can't stop and halt the conversation as we all read on Google what is happening. But somebody did say a football is 12 inches across. Hence, it is a foot long of a ball.
I don't know that is actually.
I don't know if
has anything
that
to do with the etymology.
Problem is, the original etymology was football with soccer, and that, you know, I don't believe that has a radius of.
Yeah,
the
Wikipedia entry I was just reading, trying to figure this out, essentially said it was a combination of soccer and rugby. And when the rugby people won the fight about what the game was going to be more like, they decided to let the soccer people keep the name.
Oh, very nice of them, don't you think?
That's basically the explanation on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, somebody could have made up and wrote down yesterday.
Of course. By the way, the Zach Cassian ruling is finally here.
And?
Oh, hold on. Wait. Half the audience has never even heard of Zach Cassian. So
well, the hell with the ones who don't know. Tell them to catch up.
Again, welcome to your not-so-stupid questions hour.
Zach Cassian is the Edmonton Oiler who kicked Eric Chermak of the Tampa Bay Lightning last night in the chest with the bottom of his skate. So largely trying to cleave him in half. And today he was suspended 7 games by your National Hockey League.
7 is all he got?
Yep.
Doesn't that feel light to you?
Feels really light to me, but every suspension that the NHL deals out for stupid stuff like this always feels light.
So whose desk did this fall on? Who blew this? This isn't Gary Bettman.
No. This is the NHL Department of Public Safety. That's their actual name. And it would be
Wasn't it Shanahan?
No, I don't think. I'm not sure it was Shanahan. I think it was George Parros.
Kyle Shanahan?
No, Brendan. Brendan Shanahan, Red Wing,
I don't think he's in charge of it anymore.
Okay.
I think this is George Parros' call.
Former Hartford Whaler.
You're right. Shanahan is currently the president and alternate governor of the Maple Leafs.
Right. And in fact, There have been other incidences where guys have been suspended for kicking or stomping another player, and 7 is on the high end.
Okay. Boy, that seems to me like we'd really want to discourage using the one sharp part of the equipment.
And this is a guy with some hockey priors.
Yeah.
So I think they got it wrong, as they always do.
But can we go back to why there is fighting in this sport? Is this guy going to get his ass kicked when he returns from his seven-game suspension? I know I'm pulling his sweater over his head and taking shots, right? I mean, this is why you have a goon, to go make sure guys like this don't get out of line against your team.
He gets in fights anyway, and people get in fights with him. It's sort of his function. So, yeah, that will happen.
Yeah, goons.
Except that he's one of the very rare players who still is largely known for this stuff rather than his play. Most guys who used to be called enforcers, you know, that's being largely phased out of the game. And now the guy who gets in the fights is also a guy with some skill.
Oh, yeah. There's no room on an NHL bench for a guy without a considerable skill level anymore.
Yeah, no, they're trying to phase fighting out without getting rid of it entirely. Because there's still a segment of the people who run hockey who believe that you'll lose too much audience. It's never been proven. It's never been tried.
Well, but that's what it's always really about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
speaking of discipline and how long you get for when you do something wrong, I want to bring up the headline that today pulled Michael Avenatti into a guilty decision because he tried to extort Nike. You don't go after the big swoosh. Michael Avenatti, the lawyer who gained fame by representing Stormy Daniels, has been convicted of trying to extort Nike for $25 million. The 48-year-old lawyer was convicted by a jury in New York on Friday after a three-week trial in which he was accused of threatening to use his media access to hurt Nike's reputation and stock price unless they paid him up to $25 million. He was charged last year after the sportswear company accused him of threatening to expose Nike for allegedly funneling payments to college basketball players, which I am sure they're doing, you know, but, you know, prove it. He said he could. Apparently he couldn't. And he is now, thanks to this attempted extortion, his honest service wire fraud and transmission of interstate communications with intent to extort, he is looking at a maximum sentence of 42 years behind bars. He has also been charged with 36 counts of frauds and a sweeping indictment by the IRS case here in California, which comes with 335 years of possible prison time.
Woo.
And that hasn't even gone to trial yet. Michael Avenatti, no matter what you thought of him, whether you liked him, whether you didn't, there was one thing I think we could all agree on. It was really easy to see. Some people are equipped to handle fame and some aren't. And he weren't equipped. I mean, he turned into a camera. He was obsessed with being more famous than he was ever meant to be.
Well, but also I think that was part of the some of the, how to put this, left wing concern when he was sort of the driver of the bus that brought some of these stories to light, is he was already known as kind of a scumbag coming into the whole Stormy Daniels thing. And I'm not sure he did himself any favors
there. Well, look at it this way. If Stormy Daniels called you,
right,
you're the scumbag, right?
Pretty part much. Of it anyways, yeah, that's who she's looking for.
Yeah.
Also, quickly, on the football thing, per NFL rules, the football should be 11 to 11 and a quarter inches long. So, okay. Not a foot.
Unless Tom Brady gets a hold of it, in which case you're looking at about 10 inches.
Also, our pal Avenatti is got to go back to court in April because he's accused of stealing $300,000 from Daniels.
Yeah, well, that's the next 25 years, right? That was what Damon was saying.
Well, that trial hasn't happened yet.
There's another. He's got two more pending trials.
And there's a third one, and he's accused of ripping off five other clients, one of whom is a paraplegic, as well as scamming bank loans, evading taxes, and lying during bankruptcy procedures.
Now, it couldn't happen to a better guy.
Yeah.
He kind of signed up for this one.
Yeah.
He really did.
He didn't say, he's sort of Lenny Dykstra on crank.
Oh, Lenny. Come to my car wash. Stay for the financial disaster. So, I promised you a little bit early. We didn't get to it on time. But again, there are no rules on a Friday before I take a two-week vacation. I promise you a food report. You're going to get one right here and right now.
Hungry?
What the f*** did you put in that sauce?
Oh, yeah.
Dry and tasteless.
Soft, bland, rubbery.
Oh. Yeah.
Super duper weenie in Connecticut.
Cream freeze, cafeteria free.
He's only gone and given me a rancid scallop.
It's time for the Damon Bruce Food Report.
Cafeteria free.
Speaking of Elena, that's, I think, Elena's last voiceover work we got here on the station that we still use.
Let's keep it forever.
Yeah, keep it forever. Absolutely, we have to. So, normally when we do a food report, there is a new item, a novelty menu item, or some sort of just cholesterol dare happening at a minor league game of some sort. Not today. Today our food report is more about the dietary restrictions, or lack thereof, of one LeBron James. Saw a report by Andy Nesbitt that said Tristan Thompson has described LeBron James's diet as the worst bleeping diet ever. Here's the quotes. He has the worst bleeping diet ever. Ask him what he eats for breakfast. He has like five French toast, drowns it in syrup and strawberries and bananas. Then he has like a four-egg omelet. Then he goes and just bleeping dunks on everybody. It doesn't make sense. He eats desserts with every meal. He comes with his one-week diet vegan crap, but literally eats like it doesn't make any sense. He's really a specimen. He eats crap. I remember one year I tried to eat like he ate, and it just didn't work out. I started gaining weight, and I was like, F this. I mean, if it worked for him. He loves sweets. He loves sweets. He eats desserts and French toast. It's crazy how much his body just burns it. So there you go. Yet another example that LeBron James is just a next-level human being.
Yeah, he's the next step of evolution. None of us are like him. It's an insane story, of course, but it doesn't surprise me. It's because he's LeBron James and none of us are.
Yeah. How do you think his metabolism runs? High to very high?
Yeah, the highest.
Yeah.
Of course, if he doesn't change his diet when he stops playing, he will weigh 660.
That's true.
And he'll still look fit.
That's also true.
He'll be smart enough to do it. I think he's planning for post-career opportunities. I don't know about you, but I think this guy sees the big picture.
It's almost like, don't you remember when Michael Phelps' diet got put out and he was eating like 6,000 calories a meal or something crazy
right,
like that?
Right, well, the guy burns 10,000 calories a workout.
Exactly. Do you guys need a quiet moment because Horace Grant just took the floor?
Nah, I don't care that much about Horace.
By
I'm
the
surprised.
Way, though.
Good for him. He's,
You want to talk about putting on a little weight post-season career.
Well, he's like 55.
There's more Horace Grant there.
He hasn't put on a lot of weight, given...
He looks pretty good.
Yeah.
How old do you think Horace Grant is?
50.
54 years old, Horace Grant.
Nice.
I mean, he's looking good for 54, I'd say.
He does have the rec specs.
Nate Robinson.
He's got the rec specs. So are they bringing out more celebrity to the celebrity All-Star game?
I think
game?
They're bringing out former Bulls now.
I see Guy Fieri there.
Yeah, Guy's not in uniform.
Wait a minute, Guy Fieri's there, which I have the perfect intro for that.
What the f*** did you put in that sauce?
Oh, yeah.
Dry and tasteless.
Soft, bland, rubbery.
Oh, yeah.
Super duper.
Guy Fieri is at the Celebrity All-Star Game. There you go. Put some donkey sauce on it. The mayor of Flavortown is here.
Wilbon's rocking a Blackhawks sweater as the coach of the team. This is Chicago right now.
He was wearing a Jordan jersey before. I think he's probably going to wear a Cubs jersey next.
At least he's not wearing the Cubs jersey that he tucked into his pant. Did you see Wilbon ever throw out the first pitch at Wrigley?
I think everybody regrets that.
He tucked the jersey in his pants.
Can't tuck a jersey.
You can't tuck a jersey.
Well, he shouldn't be wearing one.
We could debate that, but if you do,
there's a rule, and it should in fact be enacted as a law. Anything over 25, jerseys belong. You don't wear a jersey. You can wear a hoodie, but not a jersey.
I would like to debate this.
Okay, you're wrong.
This is one of those things that people like to say. Why?
I do like to say it because at some point you have to let kids have their own wardrobe.
Yeah, it's onesies and smaller clothes. A big jersey is for a grown-up. I don't understand.
You're comfortable
you're not
wearing
a player.
Another man's name on your back? That's cool with you?
Yeah.
It's real weird.
Why? Who cares?
I care.
All right.
There.
I think you guys are the losers.
When my daughter graduated from high school, I gave her a Dustin Byfuglien jersey. She holds it to this day.
Buff nuts.
But she doesn't wear it anymore. And she cites the 25-year-old rule.
Well, that's because you raised her wrong. I can't help her with that, but I just don't understand why there's a stigma against adults wearing jerseys. Who cares?
You get in an authentic Byfuglien jersey, like fighting strap,
especially
real deal?
Especially you, Ray.
Yes. Spend like $300 on it?
No.
Oh, you know
then,
people.
Back then it was like one and a quarter.
Good for you.
Especially you who get as exercise as I ever see you get anytime someone cares at all about any other person's clothing. For you to institute clothing rules, I don't know, man. I don't get it.
I'm merely pointing out that I am as inconsistent as everybody else, but I am never wrong.
Okay.
What happened to that jersey?
See how that works?
What happened to the jersey rental sponsor thing you had? I Dibley killed it. I don't know.
Jersey rental?
There was something that he was doing for a minute there.
What, you rent a jersey?
It was like a Netflix for jerseys. Like, I wanted to wear a jersey this week, so I rented this jersey. Then I send it back to you, and you send me the next jersey in my queue.
Oh, no.
That happened. Ray, you don't need to know this. This is a need-to-know basis. You don't need to know.
I don't.
I've already figured it out.
I don't support.
It sounds like one of the great scams of all time, because there are places that do this with women's clothes, too.
My wife loves it.
It's a rip-off every time.
No, my wife loves it.
That may be, but she's still getting ripped off.
She's not, though, because no girl wants anything that's a permanent fixture in her closet. She wants to wear it once and then get something new. It's genius. It's psychology. I get
somebody
this.
Else is telling you what's fashionable. It's wrong.
It should be me picking out her clothes. You're right. this is we've went way too long here. We are going to. Are we going to do a takeoff? Flaming Woo! Hot takes all
Finally.
Around.
Finally.
I mean, you want mailing it in. Stick around for my final half hour for the next 2 weeks here on 95.7 The Game.
This is such a bad idea.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
I guarantee you that big news breaks while I'm on vacation. Well, it's already started. Matt, tell the world what you just told me. Music to your ears if you're a baseball fan.
Bartolo Colon will be pitching again. Sadly, not in Major League Baseball, but he has just signed to a team with the Mexican Summer League. Hold on, I had the team in front of me just a second ago. It is called Acereros. I'm sure I've pronounced that incorrectly. Acereros of Monclova have signed El Big Sexy, as they put it in their tweet. Bartolo Colon.
I believe that's Spanish for the big sexy.
It sure is.
So, welcome back, Bartolo. It's only, what? I mean, he'll be pitching for the Florida Marlins here at some point, right? I got to be honest with you. If the Giants are going with Samardzija on opening day, is Bartolo's your fifth starter that bad of an idea?
No. Also, according to Lucas, Rajay Davis, former Oakland A, also on that Mexican Summer League team.
Raj! Good for Rajay Davis.
Yeah.
Rajay
Davis. Guys who played forever.
Dude, Rajay Davis.
He's getting up there in age as well.
Dude, he hit a home run that nearly made me leap off a pretty orange bridge when the Indians were.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he scared the hell out of me, Rajay Davis did. All right, Lucas.
Yeah, he's 39.
This is good, man. Rajay Davis. So Lucas has come up with a little something that he is going to explain to us. We really don't know what he's come up with. So, Lucas, I believe you basically said that we're going to pretend that we're all auditioning for Skip Bayless's job here?
Yes, with a bit of, well, I guess it's going to be more of a national thing than more Bay Area than we normally do, but we have a bet and an intro, so let's hit that first. Get it? Takeoff?
Sounded more like landing, but whatever.
No. There were no screeching wheels. I didn't hear that.
First of all, we can shave at least a half an hour off this intro.
No, this is it.
There's no production. It's just a plane taking off in a song.
Okay.
All right, boys.
He had to explain the song.
Wasn't there Flight 97? Wasn't that our failed morning show? Good job.
I'm guessing it would be Flight 95.7.
I think it was Flight 95.7.
All right, whatever. Chad doing.
Flight
97
was a
Portland,
thing.
Keep it real. By the way,
Pinwheel Empire.
Zion Williamson should be replacing Dame Lillard's spot in the All Star game. No one. It should be Zion. Should be in Chicago. No, not Devin. I love Devin Booker, but it should be Zion. I got numbers for you. Anyway, let's do this. What do you got? I got hot takes.
All right, this is your chance to channel your inner Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless, boys. It's a hot take competition. As your host, me, Lucas Alexander, I will throw out topics, mostly sports, but I'll probably throw in a non-sports curveball in there. Each of you will have 30 seconds to give your hottest, most creative take on each topic. Bobby and I, Bobby, board up, technical producer back here. That's what they like to be called. And I will be judging each round. We'll give a winner for each round, and we'll move on. And the most wins at the end will be your first inaugural champion here of the first takeoff on the Damon Ratto and Kolsky show.
Oh, you know, call it whatever you want.
Yeah. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, who wants to go first?
Are you Peaches or are you Herb?
I'll go. I feel like I should take one for the team.
Damon, are you ready? Here we go. First topic, and everyone's going to get a chance to give their take. We made it to the All-Star break. Obviously, we have a three-point shooting contest and a slam dunk contest on Saturday and the All-Star game on Sunday. You can make one change to one of these three events. What's it going to be? Damon, you have 30 seconds. Go.
Okay, so my change to the All-Star game is going to be going back to the rules of basketball and four quarters of basketball, and the team with the most points at the end of the basketball games has won the actual basketball game. We're not going to pay tribute to anyone who's had tons of real, emotional, actual tributes already paid to them. We're going to use four quarters, we're going to add all four scores together, and at the end of it, we're going to pick a winner based on who's got the most points, and then we'll determine an MVP based on...
Okay.
Good stuff.
That's a start. Kolsky?
Any change to the All-Star game here?
Or the dunk contest or the three-point shooting contest.
Okay, so here's what I think needs to be done. Everyone gets upset because the All-Star game is aesthetically not normal basketball. But I don't want normal basketball, so I have a new idea. I think the problem is points. So we're going to not play with traditional points in the All-Star game anymore. Instead, every play made will be rated by judges on a point system a la the dunk contest. And each team will continue to get scores based on how dope the plays they make are. So if you make the most dope plays, you win.
It's a lot of judging. Ray, finish it up.
Exploding ball.
Okay, you have about 28 more seconds.
No. You
That's
don't
efficiency.
Need, you don't, I've said what I need to say.
High PER.
Yeah.
By
the
way,
ball explodes at random.
Spice Adams just went like James Harden level between the legs, solo dribbling. And
he's
I think
hilarious.
Like intentionally dribbled out the shot clock.
All right, round one winners, Matt Kolsky.
Oh, yeah.
I'll Ray, never forget.
Ray,
I feel great.
I'm going to need you to extend a little more. I like the topic.
No. You get the answer I give you.
Yeah, but I'm the judge, so.
Well,
you know.
I
He's describing
is there money
why you,
involved in this?
He's simply
no.
describing why you got low marks,
You
Ray.
Don't want to be the first ever champion?
Oh, God, no. I don't want my name attached to this.
All right. Round two. Kolsky, since you won the first round, you're going to start.
Okay. Also, compare me to Nick Wright on the text line, and I'll just block you so you can never text the station again.
Wow. Okay, that's a threat. NASA has deemed a massive asteroid speeding towards Earth as the, quote, Earth Destroyer. It's larger than the tallest building on Earth, speeding faster than 34,000 miles an hour. It's expected to cross Earth's path around 3 a.m. tomorrow. If it hit Earth, it would trigger a, quote, massive extinction and send us into a nuclear winter. Don't worry, though. It's only going to miss our planet by about, you know, 4 million miles. Here's the question. If you learned you only had 24 hours to live, how would you spend it? 30 seconds. On the clock, Matt Kolsky, go.
I learned I only had 30 hours to live.
24 hours.
24 hours? Why'd I jump to 30? Give me the 6 extra hours, Lucas.
You're burning time.
Honestly, I wouldn't do anything that much different than what I'm going to do after work today. I would go home. I would smoke a whole lot of weed. And I'd spend time with my wife and child. Not necessarily in that order. That's all I got. Because if you gave me a week, I'd go somewhere. But 24 hours, it's like hold the ones you love and say goodbye.
Damon.
All right, final 24 hours on Earth, going home to spend some time with the family and smoke a lot of weed. I call that Wednesday where I'm from.
Yeah,
so we're
exactly.
going to take it up a notch. China black tar heroin.
Oh, okay.
After spending at least 23 hours with my son
okay.
and my wife, I'm overdosing and going out. I'm listening to China Cat Sunflower the whole way out. I am going, I'm going to go Grateful Dead. Straight up heroin overdose.
Can I
it's
take Damon's answer?
It's going to be beautiful. Don't do drugs, kids, unless it's the last 24 hours ever.
I can't believe I didn't think of black tar heroin.
Ray, you have 24 hours to live. How are you spending it?
I'm going to climb up on my roof and listen for the laughter of God.
PER so high.
Because I'll tell you what, no planet has it coming quite the way we do.
So if Ray's not going to fill his entire allotted time, I'm gonna.
Oh, I reserve the balance of my time back to the chair.
Oh, that means Fergie.
There's Fergie.
Through the night,
you got a buzzer, Fergie.
Let us
it's not me. Don't look at me. Why are you looking at me? I didn't do it.
All right, that one goes to Damon. Well done. I need a little more fire out of you guys. Some more hot takes.
Okay,
a little more creativity.
Up. How's that?
Should call this guy on the text line who wants to cabbage Ratto with his last 24 hours.
That's how we're going to solve the Astros problem.
We're only going to do 4 rounds. Here's number 3. Daryl Morey and the Rockets have decided to go all in on the small ball. They traded away Clint Capela, brought in Robert Covington. Now they're looking at 34-year-old, 6'5", P.J. Tucker, who will be playing 38 minutes tonight as their center. They are 5-2 in the 7 games they have played with this small lineup. Can this work? Ray, we're going to start with you. You have 30 seconds. Can small ball work in 2020?
Define work.
Win a championship.
No. Has no chance whatsoever. But it gives them a better chance than what they have.
Game pro.
I reserve back the balance of my time.
An early buzzer, and those are the audibles we have to make back here.
Go ahead, I'm ready for this. Remind me the question again.
Can it work?
He's ready for this. What's the question?
This is the best idea ever, whatever it is.
Game pro.
Are we waiting for me seriously?
Go ahead.
All right, really remind me of the question.
Can small ball work for the Rockets?
Yeah, the thing about the Rockets is, no, never in a million years will this ever win in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, I would be shocked if they win a game in the playoffs without playing a center, because they're going to come in contact with real centers. They do not have anyone who can guard a real center. God bless Robert Covington and P.J. Tucker. They can't do it. And also, here's the other thing. P.J. Tucker, Robert Covington, I don't necessarily trust them on offense either. What they really are is great wing defenders, and you're turning them into guys who have to defend a big man.
Damon, you have 30 seconds to take a commanding lead in this game.
I would like to congratulate the Houston Rockets for being done. It's over. Daryl Morey, break it up. You should trade Harden right now to see what you can get for him. Everything they wanted to be has come to an end. The Houston Rockets are donezo. Never crowned, never that compelling. All things considered, won't be remembered fondly, will be forgotten quickly. The Houston Rockets might be alive, but believe me, kids, they're already dead.
Damon Bruce gets this game, ladies and gentlemen. All right, last one. Kolsky, you can tie. That obviously was Damon's round. Final one. Let's let Kolsky go last. Ray, are you ready? This is you're going to start us off here. Which Bay Area team? We're going real simple.
I reserve back the balance of my time.
Which Bay Area team is going to be the next to win a championship? Real simple. You have 30 seconds to expand. Off you go.
The Oakland Panthers, indoor football.
Ooh.
Thank you. Move on. I return the balance of my time.
Could you name an Oakland Panther for us?
No.
Marshawn Lynch.
Really?
I think he owns a piece.
He owns a piece of it. He's not going to play for it.
Oh, oh. That makes more sense.
Remind us not to play this game when Ray is here next time.
Your turn.
Wow, I win. I have won the game. We don't even have to finish it. This is a victory that warms my heart,
Damon,
such as it is.
Win this round and you take the first one we ever do.
Which and the last one
team
we ever do.
Is going to be the next to win a championship.
It's the hottest possible take that I could possibly come up with. Saying it's going to be the San Jose Sharks is wrong. Saying it's going to be the Giants, the A's, wrong, wrong. Someone doesn't spend enough money. Someone's not good enough. Saying it's the Raiders doesn't matter anymore. They're in Las Vegas. It won't be the 49ers. The St. Mary's Gales are going to win the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
After they are brought into the dance as a, they're going to need an invite because they're not going to win the WCC. St. Mary's! St. Mary's! Crown them!
That's pretty good. It's tough to beat, Cole.
It's a flamethrower hot take right there.
You can't get hotter than that.
Just give it to me. Come on.
I can't get hotter than that. I could give you an answer to
Please.
The question,
no,
but I can't get hotter than that.
Randy Bennett inspires passion in us all.
Randy Bennett is an inspiring man. Honestly, for me, it would be the 49ers. Because as much as I like what the Warriors have done, as much as I think they will be back in championship contention next year, the Niners were literally a couple plays away from doing it this year, and I see no reason the team won't be better next year. So, San Francisco 49ers, if not them, then who?
St. Mary's.
Like I said, I couldn't get hotter.
You lost this badly.
I probably did, yeah.
Congratulations, Damon Bruce.
Block monster.
What did I win? A two-week vacation?
A prize. Yes, exactly. You're going to take 2 weeks off.
2 weeks, all expense paid because you paid up front. Mexico vacation. Thank you. Well done, Lucas. So, to wrap up Valentine's...
Your hot take got us a very serious gambling text about St. Mary's.
Load up on St. Mary's tomorrow night. Revenge against UOP. I like it.
That's good for, really.
Todd and Lafayette.
Lock
Thanks
of the
for
weekend from
dope.
Todd and Lafayette.
Speaking of inside dope, I never thought I was going to win with heroin and St. Mary's all on the same night. Big win.
Although the two of them are often conflated.
I feel ashamed that I didn't come up with the heroin myself.
Guys, it is Valentine's Day. What do you think is the most toxic relationship in sports?
Mine with you two idiots.
There's a lot of ways to go with this, but the way I go is with the team that's on your shirt and my board all over the place here, and it's the Bears and their fans. It's a vicious, toxic relationship.
Look, I don't want to say that I hope Virginia McCaskey isn't with us much longer, but there's one common theme through all these miserable years, and I know what her name is.
How do you figure that the relationship between the Bears and their fans is even remotely close
to toxic? Because they abuse us, and we
interrupt.
Keep...
You interrupted.
Oh,
say you're sorry to the baby Jesus.
I'm sorry, Jesus.
Okay. Knicks and their fans. It's not close.
Yeah, okay.
It's not close.
You know, I guess you have to ask yourself, is it better to be an abject failure or to be tantalized with potential success and yet
still be
fail
an abject
every time?
Failure.
Let's put it this way. The Bears still sell out. The Knicks do not.
I was going to go with Antonio Brown in reality. That is a very, very toxic relationship.
It's Boy, he's trying well. To really he, trying to... undo a lot of the last year, isn't he?
The only thing I will say about it is his behavior and the tone of his conversation has changed so much. I'm wondering if a doctor didn't find a medication that he either desperately needed or became off of. And if you're wondering why did it, because, you know, if you start taking psychotropic medicine, like it's going to take maybe a week, a month to really kick in. And the Antonio Brown conversations that he's having now,
it's like a different person,
are so much more restrained than the off-the-wall behavior we saw. I'm almost obliged to have a little sympathy for the guy.
Well, it's like so much about this thing. It's sort of a disturbing thing all the way through on all sides.
Who is the most lovable Bay Area athlete?
I mean,
living my best life.
It's Clay, right?
I mean, I know you like are allergic to this question by your nature, Ray, but
I am genuinely repelled by it.
I know you are, but Clay Thompson feels like the right answer, does it not? Have you ever seen somebody who's just got as much mass appeal as Clay has?
Well, Curry. I mean, Curry has built literally a financial empire out of being likable. They're also great players, so that's a wash. Put that aside. Clay Thompson's appeal is that he doesn't care about any of that, but more people, I think, are attracted to Curry because he does care about that.
Well, I think there's an authenticity to Clay, and I'm not saying Curry is like a poser or anything, but it's a little more produced.
But people want produced. That's my point.
Well, see, I think they do. They really do want produced. They want to tell you they don't. But then they eat up the produced stuff.
Yeah,
but I do think there's something about lovability and authenticity that go together.
And I think it's a little sassy. Like, Clay will throw a little sassafras at you, where Curry does not work in the world of sassafras.
It's pretty sincere.
No, but Thompson's snark is subtle and gets past most people.
Yeah.
I think it's just we want marketability. That's... It's one of the great failings of our culture. First name Stephen, last name
Curry. He came into my life. Yeah, marketability.
That's one of the things that's despicable about this question.
Give me your unbreakable love, Ray. This is a question tailored for you. What is a relationship in sports that may not be healthy?
Oh, God.
There's plenty to choose from.
Knicks and their fans.
You already used that as an answer.
I know that, but it is... It is the most dishonest relationship in all of sports, because the Knicks have conspired to provide two championships in 73 years and then basically want you to treat them as though they are an elite part of the American sporting fabric. Every other team that we hate for one reason or another has done it with success. These guys have done it with a relentless cavalcade of colossal failures. That's the one.
415 texter says the most toxic relationship in sports is the Houston Astros with truth and consequence.
Yeah, there's that. Houston Astros with electricity. It's pretty toxic.
Recency bias.
It feels that way. And I got one for you. How about a man who does not do well with electricity? My not healthy, unbreakable love, Durant and Twitter.
Yeah, I just...
You knew that was going to be the response. You knew that.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that. How about the best bromance? Best bromance happening in the Bay Area, and it's too bad that we didn't get a Super Bowl to really stamp this because there might have been a picture of Jimmy G in a G-string on his. But I think Kittle and Jimmy G right now, there's a pretty strong bromance going on there.
Very strong. I was always a big fan of the basketball bromance between DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Like, they just seemed like actual good buddies who got to play basketball together in Canada.
How about Boban and Tobias Harris?
Ah, Bobby and Toby. Gotta love Bobby and Toby.
Good times.
Just,
Did you know that Boban is in John Wick 3?
I did, yeah. Of course I did.
They have a fight in the library.
Yeah.
By the way, why would you be like, he needs to have a library fight? Cast Boban.
It's just you've run out of places to fight at a certain point.
He does grab John, like Keanu Reeves' face.
He palms him.
Dude, you should see his face just disappears in his hand. It really does. That is all the time we have for. I didn't get a chance, Ray. This is going to be old news by the time we come back. I didn't get a chance to tell you about the woman who tried to set her boyfriend on fire after he didn't celebrate her getting a job hired at Subway. I'll leave this with you, Matt, if you want to get to that on Monday.
Oh, she looks like someone who would do that.
That's a Valentine's Day story. Let's leave it for the next show.
O.J. Simpson is now defamation proof. He tried to get somebody sued for calling him a scumbag, and in the court of law, they said that there's no way to now defile O.J. Simpson's name. It cannot be done. You cannot defame this man.
Yeah, but I think scumbags have a reason to sue.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. This was an awful lot of fun. Lucas, thank you very much for your creativity. I don't know if we're going to ever allow you to do that again. But I did win. Nothing.
Hey, I think we could do it again. We'll just send Ray home early.
Do it every day.
Bobby, thank you very much.
Daily occurrence.
I have a box full of Frosted Flakes. Can I interest you in that?
You're going to miss me when I'm gone, aren't you, Ray?
I have an empty elevator shaft. Can I interest you in that?
Wow. It's only a three-story building, too. That got aggressive for no reason.
That's just going to break legs.
No, it didn't get aggressive for no reason.
You're
going to
be lying on the floor with broken legs.
Sometimes you got to thin out the herd for the good of the entire zoo.
On behalf of this miserable SOB and that guy right there, I'm the dude in Mexico. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.